Okay, we're starting here on the top of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, six lines down. Hayolo min echad. The Mishnah says that if he has two different utensils that he uses in his craftsmanship, that if he has more than two of them, we confiscate, we foreclose on those items that are in excess of two. If he has kelim that are less than two, he only has one of them, we don't let him compensate by selling the ones that he has excess of in order to pay for another one of the one that he has a deficit of. So the Gemara says, Pshita, what's the question here? Just like until now, that's how he worked. He had three saws and one axe. And until now, he didn't need a second axe. So why should we let him sell one of the saws to buy an axe? He survived without an axe until now. Why should we change that? Hashanami sagile. So at this point, we should say the same thing. Gemara says, Madutema, adina dahavale le'ushule. Since until now he had three saws, and he could have lent out one of those saws, Hava Moshle, then people would lend him back an axe, and therefore he was always secure that he could get the second axe or the backup equipment because he had excess equipment to lend out. Hashta Deleka Demashle, now he has nothing to give out, or he has nothing he can't borrow because we took away his excess saws now, so he can't lend and then he can't borrow, so maybe low, maybe we wouldn't take it away, or maybe we should allow him to buy an extra axe in this case. Mashmalan, that we don't allow that, and he's got to deal with whatever he has and work with whatever he has in hand. Hamakdish et nechasav malim lo tfilav or tfilin. We saw yesterday the different opinions, ma'alin, as to what ma'alin means. The Rabbeinu Gershom meant that notlim, we take it away, we confiscate it, and he goes with the hekdesh. Rashi says it means ma'alin. We assess how much it's worth, and he redeems it. How Gavra, the Savino, the Nechse, he sold all of his possessions. After the Kameh, the Rav Yemar, he went to Rav Yemar, Melo, Sligule, Tfilin, or Tfilav, take off his Tfilin. They go too. Just like by Hekdesh, when he says Nechasim, Tfilin are one of the objects that are considered to be Nechasim. So too, if he sold all of his possessions, one of his possessions are his Tfilin. Maika Mashmalan, what's the Chiddush? Matnitanhi, that's our Mishnah. Magdish nechasav malin lo tfilin, or tfilav. So our Mishnah says that explicitly that subsumed under his nechasim are the tfilin. Ma'udetema, I would have thought, hotumu desavar mitzvah ka'avidna. By the case of Hekdesh, where he says, I'm doing a mitzvah, being by Magdish, by sanctifying all my stuff and giving it to Hekdesh. So there he's willing to give up his tfilin, which are also a mitzvah, because he's doing a mitzvah. Aval inyan zvunei, but with regards to selling it to a third party, mitzvah de gufe, lo zavin inish. A person who has tefillin to do a mitzvah with his goof, he wouldn't have sold that. Kamash malan, that we say he did sell it, and it's subsumed under the nechasim, and therefore if he says, I sell all my nechasim, included in that is his tefillin, just like when he's makdish all of his nechasim, so too the tefillin are subsumed under that statement of nechasim. Echad makdish nechasav, ve'echad makrich atzmo. Whether a person sanctifies all of his possessions, or he says, I'm going to pay my erech to the Mikdash. Einlo, when the Gizbar comes to be mashkein, to take a mashkon to ensure that this person pays, or to liquidate his assets in order to pay for it, or to assess what he has in terms of his possessions to see how much he can pay, in one of any one of those situations, Einlo biksut ishto, velo biksut banav. Einlo seems to be a reference to the Gizbar, that the treasurer of Hekdesh doesn't have a right to go after his wife's clothing, nor of his children's clothing. So in the previous Mishnah, we said we don't leave him sufficient funds to pay for items that his wife needs or his children need. But on the other hand, we also don't go after the property of his wife and the property of his children. Velo bitseva shitzaba lishman. And not for items that he died for their purposes. So whether that means an actual beged that he died for their purposes, or even cloth that was going to be a beggar that was done for their purposes, in none of these instances do we say that the treasurer of Hekdesh has a right to take these assets or assess these assets or include them in his financial standing. Not in shoes that he bought for them in particular, and that's even though they have yet to wear them, as Rashi notes. Nevertheless, they all belong to these individuals, either because what we say is that the husband, when he said nechasav, my possessions, didn't include this. It's not included under his nechasim. It's not included under something that he would have in his purview. because they belong to his wife, they belong to his children, and when he was Makdish's Nechasim, he wouldn't have subsumed under that these items, because it wouldn't have been on his mind, or because we say that they really do have possession of these items, that the husband, when he grants these items to his wife, to his children, he really forfeits ownership in them to the wife, to the child, and they really have personal ownership over them, and that is includes in these scenarios where he purchases something for them, even though they have yet to wear it, or in a case where he's preparing the beged and having it dyed on their behalf. In those situations, he again either does not think of them as his possessions because they're not for him, or he already has forfeited his control over them by assuming they're going to them, and he doesn't really include them in the assets that he's thinking about, and therefore the Gizbar also cannot include them in those assets if he was Makdish Nechasav, and also in the assessment of what we can take from him or how much his net worth is, none of these items will count. Now, Afal Pi She'amru, so even though they say, it's not clear here what the Afal Pi is referencing back to, it seems like there's something before that we know, and now, even though we say this, nevertheless, it's not true here, which is, Avadim Nimkarim Biksutam L'Shevach, if you take an Eved and you dress him up in a nice piece of clothing, Shim Tilakach Lo Ksut B'Shlashim Dinar, you pay 30 dinar and get him a fine piece of clothing, Mishubach Maneh, then his value goes up by 100 zuz. So the value of purchasing something is worthwhile because it increases the value of the item. B'chein para, similarly, if you have, whether it's a cow or an oxen, Imam Tino Tol Itlis, if you wait until the shuk, then Mishubachedi, it'll sell for a higher price, it'll fetch a higher price. B'chein margalit, or a precious stone, Imalino Tol Krach, you take it into the city where there are plenty of buyers, there are wealthier people, you'll fetch Mishubachedi, you'll fetch a higher price. Ein Lekdesh Elamikomo Vishato. Hekdesh only gets the location where you are and the time. That's it. It gets no more than that. We don't wait. We don't try to figure out how we can garner more money from the property or these items. It's whatever it's worth now and where we are currently. So now, the way that you could read the Mishnah simply is, Afal Pi, that generally, if you were dealing with a broker, if you were dealing with traders, they would tell you to wait to the shuk to sell it because you'll garner more money. Wait to go to the city and you'll garner more money. Despite that that would be their advice in this situation, Hekdesh doesn't take that advice and only has Mikomo v'shato. Rashi says it's really a contrast with Yitomim. He says, Kigon gabe nichse Yitomim. When it comes to the executor of the estate for Yitomim, who's acting on their behalf, and we tell him, spend the 30 dinar and dress up the Eved, so when you sell him off, you'll get 100 more dinar. So in that case, we do tell him to do things for the benefit of the Yitomim, even though it would require waiting, or even if it would require expenditures, but expenditures that have a return on them. Though in those situations, by the Yitomim, we would recommend it. By Hekdesh, nevertheless, we do not recommend such an item. And the Gemara explains that, Tanur Banan, V'natan et erkacha bayom hahu, you'll give the value on that day, Shlo Yishehe Margalit Likalim. This is something that we quoted back on Daf Yud Chet, and we mentioned that the Rabbeinu Gershom references this Gemara as the source for what's said back on Yud Chet Amud Aleph, that Shlo Yishehe Margalit, you should not leave over a precious stone Likalim. Kalim, as Rashi said back there on Yud Chet and the Rabbeinu Gershom, Kalim means somebody who is light. Light means he's light of assets. He's not someone of importance. It's not someone who has a lot of net worth. So if you have an Ani who has a precious stone, then we don't wait to liquidate it in the city where it'll be worth a lot more. We don't wait for a wealthy person to come along and buy it where it'll be worth more. We give you the price at that moment. Now that works out both the Chumra and the Kula. If he doesn't have sufficient assets to get to the minimum threshold by which that assessment would then allow him to pay a diminished rate of arachin, he would have to then wait until he gets more assets and you'll still be on the hook for the arachin. If he clears that minimum threshold of a shekel, then this turns out to be in his favor because it will be generally the kula, which is we sell it on the spot, and that means that we'll assess the value of the item. If he was makdish all his possessions, we'll assess the value and have to pay that value to Hekdesh. If we're trying to determine how much he has to see how much we should charge him in terms of the reduced rate of Arachin, then this will go or be assessed at that level. And as Rashi notes over here, then the person themselves can wait and sell it later on and actually garner that differential between them. So Hekdesh, let's say, assigns it a price of 20, and if he holds it to the Shuk, you'll get 30. So the Hekdesh will say to him, listen, you have an asset that's worth 20 over here. Use that asset to pay off the Arachin, or that's what you owe us in terms of Makdish Nechasav. But he doesn't have to actually give them that item, and he doesn't have to sell it on the spot. He can wait and then sell it off, and then get the higher price, keep the 10 shekel for himself, and pay the 20 that Hekdesh had insisted, or what Hekdesh associated with him in terms of assessing his net worth. Now, the pasuk itself is interesting enough, has nothing to do with Arachin. It's actually found in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, which is about a Makdish Estei Mikna. A person is Makdish, a property that does not belong to him, that he's leasing. Over there it says that you figure out the value of it. B'chishav lo akwenim ichsach erkecha ad shnat ha-yovel, natanet erkecha b'yomahu kodesh la-Hashem. So there it's speaking about the value of the field, and that you pay that value between now and the yovel, and that's how you redeem the field. But it says, natanet erkecha b'yomahu kodesh la-Hashem, on that day, whatever the value is, that is what's kodesh la-Hashem, that's the value that we assign to it. And obviously the use of the word erkecha, which is all over this parshiyan Chav Zayin, makes us also associated with Arachin, and that Bayomahu is the governing factor in all these situations. We don't wait. It's whatever it is on that day, in that place, that's what governs in that situation. Now, in terms of why we say that, it could be either for the reason that we have Gzeirat HaKetuv over here, or it could be because we say, and this is the position of Rabbi Akiva in Shkalim, which is that we don't let people trade in properties of Hekdesh. So even though there's a possibility of garnering a higher price, that assumes that you are taking risk with the assets of Hekdesh. It's true that you might garner more, but there is a risk. No matter how de minimis or how minimal that risk is, there is a risk that you could lose. And therefore you don't have a right to trade in the properties of Hekdesh because of that. And therefore the reason for Bayomahu is that whatever it is today. Hekdesh is not a merchant. Hekdesh is not a trader. Hekdesh just takes whatever it is on this day. They're not out to profit. They're simply out to liquidate and take the funds and use them towards Hekdesh. So that could be the reason behind why we don't wait and monetize it at the better price. The other reason might deal with a question that the Baal HaTosafot raised over here, which is it really true that we don't wait? We just had a Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that you wait 60 days with regards to an auction for Hekdesh. So that's not true that you do it Bayomahu. Over there, we do auction off the property. And so the Tosafot wants to know, what's the difference? Why by Karka do we auction it off and wait the 60 days? Whereas by here, by the Margalit, we say sell it on the spot, and that's it. So the Tosafot over here says, Ishlamar, the Hachi Mairi v'metaltalin. The difference is between fixed assets, real property, and metaltalin. And the problem is that we don't want to be machriz on metaltalin because there's a risk of theft. You start identifying the property of the individual, his assets, then people might be encouraged to come and steal those assets. By karka, where you can't really steal karka, so over there, making the announcement will not engender any negativity. It's only to the benefit that it'll garner a higher price. So over there, we allow for achraza. Over here, where you don't have that ability because there's a higher risk that something might go wrong and might get stolen, there we say just sell it on the spot without any achraza. So that's the way Tosafot makes a distinction over here. But that would also imply that the days that you're allowed to do the achraza for are limited. I mean, it's not an unlimited thing. It's 60 days, and that's it. After 60 days, we don't allow you to carry on because there's still this mitigating force of Bayomahu to do it as soon as possible to liquidate the item. On the other hand, the Shita Mikubetzet over here in Ot Tet brings from the Rosh a different answer, which actually says that when they do the Achraz over here, it's not for the purpose of garnering a higher price, but it's actually to get the fair market value. That once Beit Din assigns a fair market value, which we saw in the beginning of the parak, that they do a shuma, they do an assessment of it, in order to actually monetize it for the fair market price, you actually need to do an achraza. And that's what he says, that the whole reason for the achraza is not to gain higher pricing, it's actually to get the real pricing of Bayomahu. It's to get the Bayomahu, the assignment of the assessment that Beit Din did on the day that he was Makdishit, or it's really not the day he's Makdishit, it's really the day that he's Goel it, that he redeems it. On that day, that's the price. And whatever the price is, now we have to figure out how to get that price. And the only way to do that is to put it up for auction in order to get that price. So that's how the Rosh answers this stira, but then that also then makes Karka no different than Metaltolim, which is that everything's about the price today, just a question of how do you get that price. With Metaltolim, you can get it immediately by just selling it into the market. Karka is a little harder to move, therefore we need more time to actually garner that price that is the today price. Then the Breita finishes off with Kodesh LaHashem, which is the end of the Pasuk, Stamek Deshot LeBedek HaBayit. Then Rashi explains this that it's a separate statement, which is when you're Stam, Magdish something, what type of Hekdesh were you thinking of? And that is Bedek HaBayit. And the reason being, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, is because when it comes to Bedek HaBayit, Makom Sheba Kulo LaHashem, that's the only way that everything ends up in Hashem's hands, LeBinyan, because then it's put into the upkeep of the Mikdash, and all done for Hashem. Ve'ein mimenu lo lemizbeach, below the Kohanim. None of it goes to the Kohanim, nothing goes to the Mizbeach. As opposed to a Korban, or other types of gifts, where the Kohanim get a portion, or the Mizbeach gets a portion, this is the only thing that really goes kulo LaHashem, and that's why you would, in a Stam Hekdesh, assume that that Hekdesh is going to Bedek HaBayit. Now, that assumes that this is a separate statement. The other way to read it is that it's a qualifier of the previous statement, which is that where do we say that Bayomahu is the assessment or value assessment? That's when you're dealing with Stam Hekdeshot that are Bedek HaBayit. That's when you're dealing with Hekdeshot the Bedek HaBayit. Now, the reason you might want to say that is because the way that Rashi is explaining it is actually subject to a Machloket Tanaim in the Gemara in Shkalim, where the Mishnayot in Shkalim have a machloket as to where Stam Hekdeshot are. Are Stam Hekdeshot the Mizbeach? Or Stam Hekdeshot the Bedek HaBayit? And we'll bump into this in the following Masechta in Tmura, then we'll discuss this issue as well. But if you say Stam Hekdeshot Hashem, then you're then saying that this Breita is following one of the Tanaim, and it's not the Kulei Alma. So that might be a reason to say that the second statement is not an independent statement, but rather a qualifier of the previous statement. Alright, with that we end the sixth parak, Hadran Halach, Shuma Yitomim. So now we begin the seventh parak, which deals with Stei Achuzah. We've mentioned it before, we're going to spend a lot of time on it, so just a quick review, that when you are Makdish, a Sadeh, that you have inherited it, it's your property, and if you ever sell it to someone else, you would get it back in the Yovel, that's a Stei Achuzah. The Torah prescribes for such a Sadeh a fixed payment in order to redeem such a field. And that is that if you're Makdishit, you redeem it, Vayayir Kachal Fi Zaro, Zera Chomer Silrim V'Chamishim Shekel Kesef, that you redeem it based on a volumetric indication of the area, which is a Zera Chomer Silrim, which is, I think, roughly 247 by 247 Amot. And that area, which can plant a Chomer Silrim, is redeemed at a fixed price of 50 Shekel. And we saw earlier in the Masechta, that doesn't mean it's its true value. Even if it's below its true value, above its true value, that is the value that you redeem. The Sukkim go on to then say, if it is later in the Yovel, then you take off for every year that is between now and the previous Yovel, or that remains from now until the next Yovel, and therefore you would divide up those years and say that the 50 shekels divided up by the 49 years that exist in the Yovel from the year after the Yovel, until the next Yovel, which the Yovel is at the beginning of the 50th year, then there are 49 years. So if you take 50 sela or 50 shekel and divide it by 49, then you would actually have a worth of 1 shekel and 1 pundion per year. There are 48 pundion in a sela. So if you have a sela every year, that's 49 sela. If you have a pundion, you'll have each year, then you'll have 49 pundion. 48 of those make up another sela, which gets you to your 50 sela. And you have one extra pundion, which the Gemara said earlier, is for kulbon. It's for the money changer, or for the missing pieces of whatever is there in the coinage that you gave, that there's some deficit, that makes up the deficit. So that means for every year from the Yovel until the next Yovel, we'll take off a sela in pundion per year, or the number of years remaining, you'll multiply by a sela in pundion, and that's what you're going to pay. So that's with regards to Stei Achuzah. There is another issue, which the Mishnayot will deal with later in the Perek, not up front here, but just to remind ourselves that if the person does not redeem it before the Yovel, or if someone else redeems it, then he doesn't have a right to take it back at all, and then it is distributed to the Kohanim, whose Beit Av falls out on the Yovel. These properties go out to the Kohanim. Question whether the Kohanim have to pay for it or don't have to pay for it in some of these situations. But that will all be dealt with later on in the Perek. For right now, we're just dealing with the calculation of the value of the field, and when you take off or diminish that value in terms of redeeming it from Mekdesh. So the Mishnah says, "Ein makdishim lifnei yovel pachot mishtei shanim," that you're not allowed to be makdish before the Yovel with less than 2 years to go. So with there less than 2 years left to the next Yovel, we don't allow you to be makdish istei achuza. The Gemara will question that in a second. Velo goalim achar Yovel pachot mishana achat. And we also do not allow you to redeem it after the Yovel with less than 1 year. Again, we'll have to explain why that is. We do not calculate chodoshim for hekdesh. Aval hekdesh mechashev chodoshim. On the other hand, hekdesh does get the benefit of chodoshim. In essence, what we're saying here is, if you're in a situation where you have a half a year has elapsed, if it is to hekdesh's benefit, then we will calculate that and say that the half year counts. If it's to your benefit, then we will say that the half year doesn't count. So, for instance, in a situation by which a year and a half has now elapsed since the Yovel, so then would you subtract from the payment that you're going to make to Hekdesh a year and a half's worth, which is 1.5 times a sela and a pundion, so it'll be 1.5 sela, 1.5 pundion, or do we say that only 1 year has elapsed, and now there are 48 years left, you're going to have to pay 48 pundion and 48 sela, because only 1 year has elapsed. We don't give you the benefit of the extra 6 months to say that pro rata, we're going to take that off. That's what the Mishnah says. We don't give you that benefit. On the other hand, if it comes into, we're going to see in a second, less than 2 years remaining till the Yovel, over there, we're going to count the Chodoshim to the benefit of Hekdesh and say that we're already at the point of 2 years and you can no longer redeem it, meaning that you're under 2 years and you can't redeem it at the diminished price because you've now entered into the last 2 years of the Yovel. As opposed to if we came to you in the earlier years, we would say, well, that half year doesn't count. You don't get a benefit for it. In those last 2 years, Hekdesh will opt to take the benefit of that because it would be to their benefit. So now, Verminim, is that really true? It says, Makdishim ben lifnei Yovel, ben leachar Yovel. You can be Makdish before the Yovel, and you can be Makdish after the Yovel. Ubishnat the Yovel atzma, on the Yovel itself, lo yakdish. You cannot be Makdish. V'imikdish ena kdoshah. And if you try it, it doesn't work. So the question is obviously from the first line that we just brought, which is Makdishim ben lifnei Yovel. You can be Makdish before the Yovel. There's no limitation of 2 years. There's no question as how much time. It just says before the Yovel, you can be Makdishit. And our Mishnah says, E Makdishim lifnei Yovel, pachot mishtei yishanim. So how do you reconcile that? Rav Shmuel damre darvayu. Rav and Shmuel both say, E Makdishim ligael bigirua, pachot mishtei yishanim. You don't get the benefit of the diminished payment, which is that you drop a shekel and a pundion, or a sela and a pundion per year in those last 2 years. Every other year, you would get to drop off. For every year that's elapsed, you'll drop off a sela and a pundion. In the last 2 years, you are not afforded that benefit. V'kevan, dei makdishim ligael bigirua, pachot mishtei shanim. Therefore, in the last 2 years, since you don't get that benefit, which means, as Rashi says over here, you're going to pay the full 50 shekel in that case. You get no deductions for all the years that are elapsed. If you're Makdish the Sadeh in the last 2 years, you're going to have to pay the full 50 shekel. Therefore, Yehi Adam Chas Am Nechasav, a person should be careful not want to waste his assets or squander his possessions. Al Yakdish Pachot Mishtei Shanim. Then he shouldn't be Makdishit in the last 2 years of the Yovel. So the way that Rav and Shmuel are reading our Mishnah now is Ein Makdishin is not an Isur. It's rather a piece of advice to the common people. Don't do this in the last 2 years. The reason why is because you're going to lose a lot of money by doing this. You're going to think that you're going to pay a shekel and a pundion, which means 2 shekel and a pundion, and then you're going to end up paying the full 50 shekel that the Torah prescribes. So it's not a worthwhile pursuit, or it's not the best way to go about being makdish your stay achuza. So that's the meaning of this. And then the Tanaic work that we quoted that said, makdishin ben lifnei yovel, is that you have the capacity to do it, and you have the right to do such. Now, in terms of the next line of the Mishnah then, it says, ein makdishin lifnei yovel pachot mishtei shanim, velo goalim achara yovel pachot mishana achat. And you can't redeem it after the yovel for less than 1 year. So then, the meaning of that will be the same thing, which is that within the first year after the yovel, you will always be paying the full value of the field, because the first year is the 50 shekel price. Every year after that, you deduct a sela and a pundion, or a shekel and a pundion. So it's saying the same thing. If you are a makdish in the last 2 years before the yovel, or in the first year of the yovel, you're going to be paying the full price. And that's what is meant in the Mishnah, if you use that in the parallel structure, as to what Rabbi Shmuel said. And you could even say that the Ein Makdishin at the beginning of the Mishnah is modifying both the Lifnei Yovel Pachot Mishtei Shanim and Pachot Mishana Achat Achar Yovel. And that Ein Makdishin doesn't mean you can't, it just means that you will suffer the consequences of that, which is you're going to be paying for the full value of the field. Now, Tosafot over here asks, why do Rabbi Shmuel only address the case of the 2 years before and not the 1 year afterwards? Why are they only giving advice not to be makdish in the last 2 years before the Ovel? Why don't they give the advice not to be makdish in the first year after the Ovel? So one way to get around that is the way that I explained the Mishnah, to say maybe the Mishnah is addressing that issue. But Tosafot says, still, Rabbi Shmuel themselves don't give you a warning. So the simple answer is that Tosafot says that a person who is at the 50-year point right after the Ovel and Makdish and Sadeh, that's what he expects. He expects to pay the full value of the field. But a person is Makdish in the last 2 years, that's not what he expects. He expects to pay 2 sela and 2 pundion. He doesn't expect to pay the full 50 shekel. And so for that reason, that's why they warn about the last 2 years, even though the same is true about the first year after the Ovel as well. But then he adds, Ve'od yesh lomar, Tefikach lotana nami, Ein makdishim shana rishana shel yovel, Mishi yochol amtin, Ad gimel shanim lifnei yovel. The reason is that when you do it in the first year of the yovel, you can wait. You've got plenty of time to wait. And every year that you wait, it will cost you less to redeem it. And you can wait all the way to 3 years before the yovel. And at that point, you can be goel. You can redeem the field at that point for 3 sela and 3 pundion. On the other hand, in the case where you're makdish it less than 2 years before the yovel, in that instance, you don't have the luxury of time. You can either redeem it at 50 shekel, and if you don't redeem it at 50 shekel, it's going to belong to the Kohanim by the time the yovel comes around. So then you're going to be under duress, and there's no waiting it out in that situation. So that's why Tosafot says they warned you about the last 2 years, because that's going to put you under duress. It's going to be a payment with a short fuse on it, and the outcome is not going to be in your favor if you wait. On the other hand, if you makdish at the beginning of the yovel, then waiting only serves to benefit you, and therefore you're not under duress, because every year that you wait, you actually have to pay less to redeem it. So that's how the Bayit Tosafot explain it. And then they ask the following question. V'im tomar, mai kamash malan. What is the braita that told us that you can be makdish before the yovel and after the yovel? What is that teaching us? What information is that giving us? Once we know that you're allowed to be makdish in the 2 years up to the yovel, what is the braita that tells us later on that you're allowed to be makdish lifnei yovel adding for us? So Tosafot adds an interesting dynamic here, which is that we know that Rosh Hashanah for the yovel is on Yom HaKippurim. And he says the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if you're makdish lifnei ha-yovel, meaning if you're makdish between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim of the yovel, you are successful at being makdish the field, and it will be Yotzei v'Yovel, and the Yovel will affect it when you hit Yom HaKippurim. So you'll have a window of time, even into the year of the Yovel, where it'll still be classified as Lifnei Yovel. And that's the Chiddush of the Braita here, that you can be Makdish Lifnei Yovel, not just before the Yovel, but meaning in the Yovel itself, before the Yovel of Yom HaKippurim on that year, you still have a right to be Makdishit, and we're going to see in a second, now we're going to deal with what about the Yovel itself, whether you can be Makdish on the Yovel. That's a big Chiddush of Tosafot, that the Yovel year, since it only really takes effect on Yom HaKippurim, then it's not counted, it's not classified as Yovel from the Rosh Hashanah of that year, and you can still be Makdish the field, even according to those that say you can't, be makdish in the Yovel. So now the Gemara continues and says, Itmar, we have a machloket amoraim of here between Rav and Shmuel, a similar machloket that we're going to have later on in the Masechta with regards to issues of chulin as well, which is a makdish sadeu b'shnat ha-yovel atzma. Someone who is makdish, a field in the Yovel itself. Rav amar kdosha, it is successful, it is kadosh, v'notein chamishim, and you pay the full amount. You pay the full value of the field, which is the 50 shekel. Ushmuel amar, it is not successful, the Kedusha, and the field is not Kadosh. We are going to see now that Rav Yosef is going to reference to this machloket that Rav and Shmuel have about the Yovel in general, which is, what happens if you sell a field on the Yovel? Does the Yovel then automatically release the field and the sale is not a valid sale? Or does the sale go through? And that's also a machloket Rav and Shmuel later on. And that's what Rav Yosef is now asking. Matkivla Rav Yosef. Bishlam alenya mechira. When it comes to selling, the polig Shmuel alei the Rav. I understand why Shmuel disagrees with Rav and says that you cannot sell something during the Yovel. Because ikal meimar kal v'chomer. Because there's a logical argument. Uma mechura kvar. Something that is already sold before the Yovel. Yotza achshav goes out. Now, once you hit the Yovel, she'ena mechura. Something that wasn't sold, einu din shelo timacher, doesn't it make sense that if you sold it now, that it would not be successful at being sold? So you see that there's this logical argument, which is that since the Yovel is successful at releasing sold property from the possession of the buyer, then certainly if the seller here is trying to sell it in the Yovel should be successful at blocking such a sale or bringing it back into his possession. So that kal v'chomer exists when you're dealing with chulin and a sale. Elohocha by hekdesh meika lemeimar kal v'chomer. There is no such kal v'chomer. Vatnan, there's a mishnah that we're going to see about hekdesh. Higia yovel v'lo nigala. If the yovel comes and you have yet to redeem the property, kohanim nichnasim letocha v'notnim dameha divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The kohanim go into the field, and they get the field and they have to pay for its true value. If in the Yovel you have to redeem it at its true value, something that was mukdash before the Yovel now comes to the Yovel, has to be redeemed at its true value, then when you're mukdash something on the Yovel, you certainly should have to pay its true value. That would be the kal v'chomer that you would have. That would not result in the same outcome that Shmuel is suggesting over here, which is that if you're mukdash and sadeh during the Yovel, it doesn't work at all. That kal v'chomer doesn't exist over here. Because what you would have said is that the Yovel releases the property, and so therefore if you're makdish it, it also doesn't work because the property is already released. But that's not what happens. When you're makdish it before the Yovel, the property goes to Kohanim, and if they have to pay their full value of the property, if they have to pay the full value of the property, then it's not released in the Yovel. That means if you're makdish in the Yovel, you should have the same outcome, which is that you have to pay for the full value of the property. The Gemara answers, Shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon svirle. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, Damar Nichnasim v'lo Notnim, that the Kohanim get the property without having to pay any money. So that means that the property in the Yovel is released. And so just like the property in the Yovel is released, so too, if you go to try to be Makdishit in the Yovel, it'll be automatically be released. Rav, Savar, Sof Sof, L'Baalim, Mikahadra, L'Kohanim hu Denafko. And the Kohanim, Mishulchan Gavoa, Kazachu. And the Kohanim themselves are not the Baalim of the property. They are just beneficiaries of eating at the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The property belongs to Hashem, and Hashem grants them the right to benefit from that property. So if that's the case, then the recipients or the beneficiaries are different over here. It's not the owners of the property. The Kohanim are not the owners of the property. They're simply the guests of Hashem on the property. And so therefore the kal v'chomer doesn't work so well. There's a big difference between the case of a sale and the case of hekdesh. By the case of a sale, the same party is the recipient of the release of the Yovel. If you sold the property before the Yovel will release it back to the original owner. If you sell the property on the Yovel, the kal v'chomer results in it going back to the original owner. I mean, the sale is never effective and the original owner keeps it. Over here, the kal v'chomer is not exactly that way. If you're makdish before the Yovel, the party that receives it or it's released by the Yovel is the Kohanim. And then if you're makdish on the Yovel itself, we say that it's not effective and it remains with the original owner. So it's not really a Kal V'chomer, because the Kal V'chomer would say, well, just like the field that was Mukdash before the Yovel, it's released to the Kohanim on the Yovel, so too if you Makdish something on the Yovel, it should release automatically to the Kohanim. That's not what we're saying. We're saying it releases back to the original Balim, and that's why Rav says that this Kal V'chomer is not a good Kal V'chomer over here. Shmuel obviously is going to disagree with that and say that the Kohanim are not Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, but rather the Kohanim are entitled to it as one of the Matnot Kuhuna, therefore they're the owners of the property at this point. Which means that when the Stadeh that was Hekdesh is released on the Ovel, it's released to the owners, the new owners, but the owners who are the Kohanim. So too, if a person tries to be Makdishit on the Ovel, it'll be released to the owner, and the current owner at that point is the Balim. And so that's how Shmuel will learn it, that they're not me, Shulchan Kavua Kazachu. Now, my time of the Rav. What's the reasoning behind Rav? Tosafot is very bothered by the question of the Gemara over here, which is Rav already told you his reason. He doesn't have the Kal V'chomer of Shmuel. So if he doesn't have the Kal V'chomer of Shmuel, we already know what Rav's reason is. So why are you asking me what Rav's reason is? So the Baal Tosafot over here go out of their way to show that Shmuel's Kal V'chomer is the default way you would have learned the situation, or you would have assessed the situation. You need something to actively undermine that Kal V'chomer. And so Rav, yes, he says there's a way to undermine the Kal V'chomer, but there's also a way to learn it, like Shmuel, to say that it doesn't undermine the Kal V'chomer. How does Rav know which way to go? He needs evidence to undermine Shmuel's position, because Shmuel's position is the simpler and more logical way to go. Tosafot then brings a second answer as to why Rav needs a pasuk over here, is because even though Rav already undermined the Kal V'chomer of Shmuel, the resultant view that Rav might have had over here is that instead of paying 50 shekel for a stei achuzah when you're makdish on the Yovel, you'd have to pay its full value, the actual shovyo of the field. Along comes the pasuk to tell you that the din of stei achuzah applies on the Yovel, and therefore on the Yovel itself, when you're makdish it, that's what gets you that 50 shekel, the full amount of the stei achuzah based on the fixed redemption price, and it's not subject to the regular redemption rules of shovyo of its true value. And that's why he needs a pasuk over here, to teach you that not just that the Kal V'chomer is undermined, and yes, when you're Makdish, you have to redeem it, but you redeem it at its full value, but no, to tell you that when you redeem it on the Yovel, it has a status of a stei achuzah, because the psukim of stei achuzah are speaking about not only the years in between the Yovel, but the year of the Yovel itself as well. And so for that reason, the Gemara is asking, my time in the Rav, Damakra, because the pasuk says, Im Mishnat HaYovel. It says, from the Yovel year. Mishnat HaYovel Bichlal. It says, from the Yovel year, including the Yovel year itself. Ushmoel, Shmuel doesn't agree with that. He says, Miktiv V'im Mishnat HaYovel. Doesn't say, if on the Shnat HaYovel, but rather, Mishnat HaYovel. From the Yovel year, Ktiv, Mishana Shachar HaYovel. That means the year that's after the Yovel. The year that succeeds the Yovel. It's not the Yovel itself, it's Mishnat HaYovel, from the Shana that is after the Yovel, not the Yovel year itself. Now, Bishlam Oda Rav, Hainu Dichtiv Im Mishnat HaYovel, which is, the Pasuk says, if you do it on the Yovel itself, this is how much you have to pay, the 50 shekel. V'im Achara Yovel, which are the Psukim afterwards, which tell you how to reduce the price on a yearly basis based on the remaining years, the Pasuk is headed up with Im Achar HaYovel Yagdish Sadeyu, so that is Achar HaYovel. So for him it makes sense. The word Yovel means the same thing in both situations. You have either the Yovel itself, or you have Achar HaYovel, which is, means the years or any years after the Yovel. But the Shmuel, my Achar HaYovel. What does it mean after the Yovel? Im Mishnat HaYovel, according to Rosh Shmuel, already is after the Yovel. So then why would you have a pasuk that then says Achar HaYovel? It's not Achar HaYovel, because the year after the Yovel is the year in which you pay the full amount. So Achar HaYovel is actually 2 years after the Yovel. My answer is that's exactly right. Achar da'achar. Achar HaYovel doesn't mean after the Yovel, it means after the Yovel. So if the primary position of when you pay 50 shekel is the year after the Yovel, then Achar, sometime after that, means 2 years, or any time after that first year. So Meitave, Makdishin ben lifnei Yovel, ben achar Yovel, u'mishnat Yovel atzma lo yakdish. Imikdish eno kedosha, which is the position that we brought in the beginning of the Gemara that says you are allowed to be Makdish before the Yovel. You're allowed to be Makdish after the Yovel. But you can try to be Makdish on the Yovel, but it will be unsuccessful. That sounds exactly like Shmuel, that if you try to be Makdish on the Yovel, it doesn't work, and the property is not Kadosh. So that's a big problem for Rav. So Amar Charav, how's Rav going to deal with this? Enok Dosha B'Girua Ava Kadosh V'Notim Chamishim. That it means that it's not Kadosh for the reduced price. It is Kadosh to pay the full amount of the Chamishim Shekel. Milichlau, well that means or implies that Lifnei Yovel Kadosha L'Ge'el B'Girua. That means that the other statements in that piece in the Tanaic work, which says Lifnei Yovel and Achar Yovel, you're allowed to do it, means that those you're allowed to do it, and they would be Girua. Then it doesn't fit into the remainder of the statement over here, because if you say, if you're Shnata Yovel Atzma, Lo Yakdish, you shouldn't be Makdish, if you name Yakdish, Enuk Dosha, and Enuk Dosha means it's Enuk Dosha to have the diminished value, it's the full value. That means that the two previous statements here, where Ben Lifnei Yovel, Ben Achar Yovel, include Girua, include a reduction in the price. Well, that doesn't work, but that's not true. Because if you do it in the 2 years before the Yovel, you don't get the reduced price, you have to pay the full price. So that doesn't make sense in explaining that Tanaic work, according to Rav. So Rav has to come up with a different answer. Amalecha Rav, Mahamani Rabbonan hi. That Braita is authored by the Rabbonan. Va'ana damre karabi. And I paskin like Rabbi. Damar, Rishon, Virishon Bichlau. Shvi'i, Ushvi'i Bichlau. Hachanami, Bishnat Ayovel Bichlal. He says, that is according to the Rabbanon, who believe you can't be Magdishit in the Yovel, because the Rabbanon, we had this earlier back on Yochanan Bet, where Rabbi says, when it says, Mi Yom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i, that means from the first to the seventh day, that means including the first day, and including the seventh day. He had a dissenting opinion that says, Mi Yom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i, means only the days in between Yom HaRishon and Yom HaShvi'i, and then we needed the special pasuk that said, Ad Yom Echad V'Esrim Ba'aref, to tell you that it goes all the way through the seventh day. We need a separate limud for that. So now, what Rav is saying is, this is according to the Rabbonon, who say that when it says Mishnata Yovel, from basically Yovel to Yovel, means the years in between the Yovel. And that would be the sheet of the Chachamim, and that's why you can't be Makdishit in the Yovel. On the other hand, Rabbi says, when it says Mishnata Yovel, from the Yovel, until the other Yovel, means including the Yovel itself. And that'll be Rabbi's position. And I will subscribe to Rabbi's position in the reading of the Pasuk. Now, Shmuel will disagree with that and say, it's very different. In the case where it says, Miyom Rishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i, that's giving you a span of time. It's from Yom Rishon until Yom Shvi'i. Over here, it's not giving you a span of time. It's not saying, Imishnat Yovel Ad HaYovel. It's saying, Imishnat Yovel. It only gives you one side of the span of time. It doesn't give you both sides, the bookends of the span of time. So in that situation, we're not going to say it includes the actual bookends itself. And that's how Shmuel will argue, even according to Rabbi's explanation, he will say that I think Rabbi over here would agree with my interpretation that the Shnat Yovel is not included. Gemara says, wait a minute, Ika Rabbi, if you hold like Rabbi, Pundion Mayavite. Why do you need a Pundion over here? Because if you're saying that now there are full 50 years that are included here, because the Yovel itself counts, and then you have a subsequent 49 years before you reach the next Yovel, that means that in totality there are 50 years. And if the Torah tells you that the field's worth 50 shekel, a shekel per year now, then all you have to pay each year is a shekel. Why do we have the Mishnayot that told us that the reduction each year is a shekel and pundion? What do you need the pundion for? If you tell me Rabbi doesn't hold a pundion, he thinks that you pay a shekel per year, and that's it. That's not. Hikdish shtayim v'shalosh shanim lifnei yovel. He's makdish the field 2-3 years before the yovel. Rabbi Omer ani, I say, notain selo pundion. You pay a selo and pundion per year that's left until the yovel. So you see that he does hold to the pundion. Where it says, Rabbi k'Rabbi Yehuda svirle. Rabbi subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's position, which we're going to spend a lot of time on at the end of the Masechta, with regards to this machloket as to Amar, Shnat ha-chamishim ole lekan ulekan. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that Yovel is the first year of the next cycle. It's the 50th year of the first cycle, and then it's the first year of the second cycle. And that means that there are really only 49 years in the Yovel cycle. If that's the case, now, if you add those two things together, according to Rav, then you'll have a situation in which he holds like Rabbi, which means the year of the Ovel itself is accounted for or included in the areas that you're allowed to be Makdish, and that will be included in the payment of the 50 shekel, but there are only 49 years in the Ovel. So then again, you're back to dividing 50 shekel over 49 years. That gives you a selo pundion per year. And that'll be Rav's explanation. I hold like Rabbi, that the Shnati Ovel is included over here. Who holds like Rabbi Yehuda? And that's why I get a selo pundion per year. Ule Shmuel, lema Rabbi kirabonon svirle. So according to Shmuel, you're going to have to say that Rabbi holds like the Rabbonon. And the Rabbonim believe that the Ovel is an independent year. It's not the first year of the next cycle, and therefore you have a 50-year cycle. So according to Shmuel, you're going to have to say that Rabbi, who believes that pay a Sela and Pundion per year, has to hold like the Rabbonon that argue on Rabbi Yehuda and say that the Ovel cycle is a full 50 years. Because the only way to get a Sela and Pundion is to have 49 years which are available for the field. So now, according to Rabbi, where you're paying a Sela and Pundion, and according to the Rabbonon that there are 49 years plus the Yovel year, then according to Shmuel, who says the Yovel year is not included, you have 49 years remaining to divide the 50 shekel across, and then you'll get a Selam Pundion. D'i ka Rabbi Yehuda svirle, because if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then it should be Sela ushte pundionot mibaye. It should be a Sela and two pundion per year, because if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that means that there's only 49 years in the Yovel cycle, and Shmuel says you can't do it on the Yovel year itself. So that means there's only 48 years left, and now you're trying to divide 50 shekel across 48 years. That means you're going to take a sela per year gets you 48, and then you're going to need two pundion times 48, which gives you two additional sela to get you to the 50. So then Rabbi should have said, sela ushte pundionot. Al korchach, so it must be the Shmuel, Rabbi k'rabbanon svirle. Rabbi who says that it's a sela pundion per year, he must hold like the Rabbanon that the Yovel cycle is a full 50 years, and not a 39-year cycle. Tashma, v'lo golem achar yovel pachot mishana. That you can't do a redemption in the field within the first year after the yovel. And the yovel, as we know, is mishamet b'tchilato, in the beginning, is effective. And so what it's being said here is that within the first year after the beginning of the yovel, you're not able to be goel the property. Now, bishlama, that makes sense, l'shmuel, lo golem achar yovel pachot mishana. Within that first year, after the beginning of the Yovel, you don't have to redeem the property because you can't be Makdish the property, and that's why there's nothing to redeem. Until you've cleared that year and begun the second year, there is no property to be Makdish, and if there's no property to be Makdish, there's no property that can be Akdish. So there's no property that can be Akdish, then there's no property to be Goel. On the other hand, El Rav, Mayachar Yovel Shana. According to Rav, why do you have to wait through the Yovel? You can be Makdish in the Yovel itself, and you would be on the hook for the 50 shekel there, and you would have to redeem it. So why is there no redemption in the first year after the beginning of the Yovel? Where it says, Misavart achar Yovel mamash, you're thinking that after the Yovel means immediately after the beginning of the Yovel, that first year, my achar Yovel does not mean immediately after the Yovel itself, it means be'emtza Yovel, sometime later during the period of the Yovel, as Rashi says over here, 20, 30 years later, that's what it's talking about. The chokama de lo mauya le shana, lo migrele. Pachot mishana means if you have less than a year that's elapsed, we don't count that towards the years that have gone through the Ovel, and the remaining years that are left will not be reduced by that portion of a year that has elapsed. So my kamash malan, what are you teaching me there? De mechashvim chodoshim emekdesh, that you don't get the benefit of pro rata months with ekdesh. Habehejuktani, that's explicit in our Mishnah. You don't count months pro rata to your benefit when it comes to calculations of valuations vis-a-vis Ekdesh. Mar says, Matam Kamar. Now, that part of the Mishnah is explaining what is the reason. What is the reason that if a partial year has elapsed, you have Pachot Mishana, you don't get to count it? That is Matam Lo Gualim Nachar Yovel Pachot Mishana. Why do you not get the benefit of less than a year that has elapsed during time periods of the Yovel? That is because Emechashvim Chodeshim Emekdesh. That's because we don't calculate Chodeshim with regards to Ekdesh. You don't get that benefit until a full year has elapsed. Now that's a simple way to explain the Gemara, but based on what we said before, that the Pachot Mishana afterwards matches the statement of Rav and Shmuel before, which means that in the latter 2 years of the Yovel, you don't do it bigirua with the deduction, but rather at the full price. So too, in the shana that's after the ovel, there's no girua, you only get it at the full price. And then again, that would be bishlam of the Shmuel. That would make sense according to Shmuel, because according to Shmuel, in the first year after the ovel, that's when you have the full 50 shekel price. According to Rav, that doesn't make sense, because for Rav, the full 50 shekel price is in the yovel itself. The year after the yovel would then already be bigirua. You'd already get a deduction for a sela and a pundayon. And that'd be the nature of the Gemara's question, which is, how could it be according to Rav that after the yovel there's still no girua? Gemara answers, misavar dachai yovel mamash, doesn't mean immediately after the yovel, that shana immediately afterwards, but rather it means some other time during the yovel period. Any time during the yovel period, when you have a year or part of a year that has elapsed, you don't get the deduction in that case because only a portion of the year has elapsed, not the entirety of the year has elapsed. That's an alternate way to read the Gemara if you think that the Shana here is not referencing to the Yovel itself, but rather to the year after the Yovel, and it's parallel to the way that Rav and Shmuel explained the ratio of the Mishnah with the Pachot Mishtei Shanim, which means that, yes, you can be Makdishit, but you can't have Giron. So too, the year after the Yovel, there is no Giron, it's at the full 50 shekel price. And now the Gemara explains, where do we know that from? The Pasuk says, V'chishav emachar yovel yakdish sadeyu, V'chishav lo akoein et hakesef al pi hashanim hanotarot ad shnat hayovel v'nigra me'arkecha. So it says over there, V'chishav, that there is a calculation, and that calculation is al pi shanim hanotarot, the years that remain. Shanim ata mechashev v'yata mechashev chodoshim. You count years, but you don't count months. The calculation is only based on round years. It's not based on pro rata months that exist between the complete or the full years. That's because the pasuk says, "Api hashanim atarot," the full years that remain. Minayin shim atarotze lasot chodashim l'shana oseh. How do I know that if you choose to make the months into years, you have such a choice? Hey chidami, what is that scenario? Going to act the shev palga darbenim v'tamnyan. That's a case where you're makdishit in the 48th and a half year. How do I know that you can also do that? Tamalomar v'chishav lo akohen. We read the B'chishav Lo independent of the remainder of the Pasuk of Hashanim HaTorot. B'chishav Lo means sometimes you just calculate it, whatever it is, not based on the years. Now, the way that our Girsa reads in the Gemara is, Shimata Rotzeh Lasot Chodoshim, you get that choice. And that's exactly how the Rosh learns this. If you look in the Shita Mikubetzet, he brings from the Rosh in Ot Bet, it's in the Ashmatot at the end of the Gemara here, that the choice is actually individuals. And that means that if you have 48 and a half years that have elapsed, then you'd be under 2 years to the Yovel, and an under 2 years to the Yovel would be to your detriment, because then you'd have to redeem it at its full value. So how do I know that you can then take that 6 months and say, no, it's really 2 years left of the Yovel, which is to my benefit, because if there are 2 years left, then I can pay two sell and two pundion, I'm out, and I've redeemed the property. How do I know that works? It's because v'chishav lo. And it's up to the individual here. I mean, that he gets that benefit in this scenario. Like in the cases before where Hekdesh gets the benefit of not counting the pro rata months, and we say that a full year has not elapsed, and therefore you don't get a deduction for it, it works against him in this scenario. And that's what it means. You can do. You have the option here to say that I have 2 years left, just like you would have done it at the 47 and a half and 46 and a half. You would have said that half year doesn't count. So too by the 48 and a half, that half year doesn't count. That's the way the Rosh learns it. The problem with that is that the Girsa here in the Gemara is different than what's in our Mishnah. And the Girsa of Rashi seemingly is also different, because he says, how do I know that you can lasot chodesh shana? Not that you get the choice, not shimata rotzeh, but shim, you are allowed to lasot chodesh shana. And that seems to be what is in our Mishnah, which is it's up to Hekdesh. How do I know Hekdesh when it works to their benefit? Then I can also say that the months do count. And that's in this scenario where you have 48 and a half years. There to say that the half year doesn't count will not work in Hekdesh's favor, because then there'll be 2 years left, and the person will have to pay two sell and two pudion to redeem it. On the other hand, if I say that the months count in this case, then you only have a year and a half left, and then you have to pay the full 50 shekel. So in this case, Hekdesh will exercise their right to say that the chodeshim count, and they count towards the years. And so Hekdesh gets to choose If it's to their benefit not to count the months, then they won't count the months. If it's to their benefit to count the months, then they will count it. And that seems to be the Lashon in our Mishnah, and that's the way Rashi explained in the Mishnah, as well as the way that Rashi explains it over here. The Rambam actually has a third way of saying it, which is somewhat in between the two. Like Rashi, he says it's up to Hektesh, meaning the Gizbar, to make the decision, but the decision is not always one-sided. Meaning that sometimes it may be to the benefit of Hektesh not to count those months and force him to pay 2 pundion and 2 shekel, rather than have it be redeemed at the 50 shekel. Because there's a possibility that if you leave it at the higher price, nobody will redeem it. So the Gizbar can make a decision, what is the best situation for Hektesh, and then decide whether to count the months or not count the months in that situation. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah, top of Chof Hei Amud Aleph.